love Easter. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And we've gotten to walk for the last 7 weeks with a rowdy group of people. I love walking through the story of Jesus' time here on this earth. We get to meet those that he touched, those that he walked with, those that he met in some of the oddest times, in some of the most just happen-chance circumstances, in some of the most intentional meetings. We get to see how Jesus works. And we've gotten to meet who Jesus is by those he interacted with. And this amazing thing happens. This amazing thing happens that we've seen each week when we meet him. Let's hear what it does. Maybe not. Spoiler alert. If you know it, say what it is. When we meet him, it changes everything. It changes everything when we meet Jesus. And there's no time that we see that truer than Easter morning. As I was driving in today, the sermon kind of changed, to be honest. Because as we were driving in, as we were going by, as I was even getting ready this morning and taking the dog out and standing there on the porch as I do every single morning, I was thinking, what if it just seemed like another morning? What if it just seemed like an ordinary day? You know, for Jesus' disciples, they came to Jesus and they followed him for almost 3 years. But over the course of that whole time, we recognize in Scripture, they still didn't quite get it. They were a lot like probably many of us are today, and a lot like Carolyn would tell you, I am today. After 3 years, there's things that I still just don't get. But as they woke up that morning, the couple of gals that had been following Jesus, Mary Magdalene and one of the other Marys was going along with her, and they were going like they were going to any other burial ceremony. They were going to put spices and preservatives on Jesus' body because they believed that he was dead. And so they walked that road and they came to the tomb and they saw that the stone was rolled away, that the tomb was empty because he is risen. I don't think we got that. They walked down the road to prepare a dead man's body to lay in the ground. They got there and they found that the stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty because he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
No, no. We have to get this. Like Trent said, this is central. This is important. This is incredible. This is everything. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is absolutely risen indeed. And that changes everything. It's amazing. It's amazing that they came to the tomb and it was empty. There were a bunch of rags laying there because Jesus didn't need them any longer. Jesus was alive. Death could not hold our Savior because he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That news that we receive each Easter morning. I hope it doesn't ever get old. I hope it doesn't wear off, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. It wasn't just another morning. It wasn't an ordinary day. It was a miracle that had happened. It was a history-changing event that Jesus walked out of that grave that morning. And like we have for the last 7 weeks, we look at some of the people that met Jesus on this day. And it wasn't a saying to them. It wasn't a simple response. It was a change to everything. We meet Mary Magdalene and her friend as they go to the store, as they go to the tomb. In Matthew chapter 28, it tells the story. It says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and was going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. How ironic is that? The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. Are you ready, folks? He is risen.
He is risen indeed,
just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Folks, this was good news. They came in and they didn't know quite what was going on. They were a little confused, I'm sure. This wasn't something that was an every Sunday thing for them. Newsflash. They came to the tomb and they found that the tomb was empty, and so they wondered what had happened. The thoughts ran through their mind. Has somebody come and stolen the body? Has these guards, have they played a trick on us? What's going on here? But then they see this angel. An angel sitting on the tomb, showing that it was defeated. He says, let me tell you what happened. He is risen. And so they hear this news, and he has to tell them, hey, I'm letting you know about this. Go and tell his disciples. Go and tell those that you were with. And I'm sure they looked at each other for a minute and then took off. They were going back to tell the good news. This happened about twice a year in college. Something like this. Dunkin' Donuts every year had Customer Appreciation Day. And on Customer Appreciation Day, you could go into Dunkin' Donuts and you could get any size, any flavor, any way coffee for $1. There would be people running in proclaiming the good news of Dunkin' Donuts, carrying 64 ounces of iced caramel coffee. It looked a lot like this day might have. There was another day, Krispy Kreme, Pirate Day, National Pirate Day. And you would see people out in the parking lots, swapping eye patches, tying on bandanas, because if you went in there dressed and talking like a pirate, you got a free dozen original glazed donuts. Ooh. It was a lot like this day. I can see your mouths watering. I can almost start to hear your stomachs growling after the breakfast that we had downstairs. But this wasn't that. This wasn't about food. This wasn't about yummy donuts. This was about the fact that he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
They came, they saw, they incredibly believed the message that was given, and then they ran to spread the good news. The only thing that could stop them at this point is Jesus appearing to them. And for a moment, they waited and they worshiped Jesus. And even he had to tell them, hey, you know what, it's me, but people need to hear about this. News needs to get out. People need to see. And so he stood there in the flesh, risen from the dead, in this path in front of his disciples. And they saw, and they could almost understand what had just happened. And as he sent them away, they couldn't contain it any longer. They had a good news that was not going to stay in. And I hope that's true for a group of us in this room today that meets this challenge, that sees what Scripture says, that has maybe seen the evidence of what history accounts and can go away knowing that this truth cannot be contained. I hope that's how we react to the Easter story. Because we see that the first people that met Jesus, they couldn't hold it in. They had to go and tell. They had a boldness to go out and let the world know, even though they were considered by society to be the people that were of least influence, of little respect. They were the people that God appeared to, and they were told to go out and tell the world about this. In this story, there's a couple of characters that it seems unlikely. From the rest of Scripture, from the rest of the Gospels, if you read through the life of Jesus, you would think that these two characters would never be late to the party. Peter and John were sitting there in a room, scared because they had seen what had happened to Jesus. Folks, the execution was real. The cross was real. The tomb was real. And they saw all that happen. And they knew what all that was about. But then Mary comes running in, saying Jesus' body isn't there. Saying the tomb is empty. John, you know the tomb. The one that we went to. The one that we saw Joseph and Nicodemus and Mary lay Jesus' body in, you know that tomb. It's empty. And so Peter and John go sprinting for it. John brags a little bit in his gospel. He says, Peter ran, but I outran him. It says, I got there first and I stood there looking into the tomb. And then it says that Peter came and he walked in. And he walked into this tomb and he saw as well that it was empty. John knew how improbable it would be for Jesus to be raised to life. He was there when Jesus died. He saw the nails in the spear. He heard the final cry. Like the pages of history display, he knew the death rate of the cross. But they could see that the account was true. They could see that he is risen. He is. He is. They went in, they saw, and they went away marveling at what they saw. John tells us in his firsthand account of that morning, so Peter and the other disciple started from the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth that was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went and saw inside. He saw and believed. But it tells us, in a little bit of John's honesty here in his account, it says they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to raise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. They go away and they walk away and they're pondering the things that have happened. They're pondering the things that they saw and the things that they experienced that morning that was like no other morning. And it's interesting the thing that stands out here. It's interesting because John notices a detail that may have passed many by. An interesting thing about first century Jews. Meals were important to them. And dining etiquette was crucial in their culture. And it was more than just the little things like not using your phone at the table. It was more than not having your elbows up or something silly like not taking the last bacon casserole, last piece of bacon casserole at breakfast. Yeah. I see you, Isaiah. I'm just joking. No. But there were things that they saw and they experienced that were different than what we may ever think of. And one of the things that John notices is he notices the cloth that is lying in its place. It's folded, laying where it should be. And for us, we look at that and we think, oh, Jesus was neat. But for the Jewish people, they had a custom with their napkins when they finished eating. If they sat down to eat and they reclined at the table and they finished their meal, they would simply take the napkin and they'd throw it onto the plate. But if they were eating their meal and they had to get up, if they had to go and do something, if they needed to leave the table and be excused for a moment, they would take their napkin, they would fold it neatly, and put it in its place to signal, I'm not finished. I'm coming back. That's one of the things that John notices about Easter morning. About going into the tomb is that the napkin that covered Jesus' face, it was sitting there folded in its place with Jesus saying, I'm not finished. Jesus said on the cross, speaking of the sin of the world, it is finished. Speaking of the power of death and the curse of sin, it is finished. But Jesus comes back saying, I'm not. And so Jesus returns. Jesus returns with a sign saying there's work to do. This next group is one that I think many have struggled with. This next group that we see is these two disciples walking along the road to a town called Emmaus. They're going away from Jerusalem after all of the events that had taken place. And they're walking, and Jesus comes up, and it's this interesting account because it mentions that Jesus is like hidden from them. He's right beside them, but he's hidden from them. They can't comprehend who they're with. And so they're walking with Jesus, and Jesus asks them, he says, What's been going on? What's been happening? I noticed something is different. And they look at Jesus and they say, are you the only one who's come to Jerusalem during this time that does not know about Jesus? And I think Jesus just about had to kind of look back and smile. No. Tell me a little bit about him. Tell me what's been going on. And so they look at him, and it brings us back to this time when Jesus asked his disciples, in a very, very comfortable setting, who do you say I am? Because they look at Jesus and they're saying, well, this Jesus guy, he was a good prophet. He was a good prophet who came to us. And the Jewish leaders got angry at him. And so he was killed. He was put to death on a cross. He was crucified. And I say, furthermore, it's been 3 days, and this morning we had a couple of the women in our group come to us and say that he is risen. And they look at Jesus and they're confused about this. Not knowing who's standing right beside them, they're confused about the message that they had given. And it seems like these two knew just enough about Jesus to know the events, to know the name, to recognize that there was something about him, but they couldn't quite figure out what. They're still trying to see what all of it meant. And they have a misconception of who Jesus was. And so they thought with his death days before that there was no chance that he could be who he said he was time and time again. The story tells us that Jesus is not afraid of confusion or conversation. He can handle questioning. So Jesus comes up to his disciples, and this is all written in Luke chapter 24, and he understands that they're in this group and that they've had every opportunity to hear of him and know what he's about. And so Jesus is pretty blunt with them. He's pretty blunt with them. The first thing he says is, you foolish people. How would you like Jesus to address you as that? The thing it has written in Scripture about you is, you're the one that Jesus said to, you foolish people. It's not quite a great title, but Jesus also addresses them with patience. While he walks with them, while he talks with them, he walks them through what Scripture says. It must have been quite a long walk, because it says he starts with Moses and goes all the way through the prophets, explaining to them the Scriptures that had been written concerning him. And Jesus brings them through this, and Jesus is starting to walk away, acting like he's going a little bit further, and they say, no, come eat with us. Come sit down and share a meal with us. And Jesus does this, and it tells us that Jesus got up and he broke bread, and their eyes were open. They saw who Jesus was, and at that moment Jesus left them. They could now see what they needed to see. They can now understand the message. We see that Jesus, in this time, he's drawing near to his people. He lovingly took them by his side, like a father walking with his son, hand in hand. Jesus patiently walked beside them as they struggled to understand what all had happened. Along the way, after all of these events, we see that there's still this one disciple. This one disciple who's gotten a nickname throughout Scripture, who disregarded anything that had happened. He threw away the idea that Jesus even could have raised from the dead after all of this. It's a man named Thomas. Thomas hears everything that's going on. He hears the accounts. He sees the excitement, but he says, I will not believe unless I feel the holes in his hands and the spear where the spear pierced his side. He gives an ultimatum to God. He says, this is what it's going to take. I'm going to have to see Jesus. So what does Jesus do? Jesus comes to him. Lovingly, he goes to Thomas, says, here, look at my hands, look at my feet. Feel my side. Jesus showed that he is risen. There's a few of you still awake. You know, the thing is, we still have people saying that same thing today. I'm not going to believe in Jesus unless I see his hands, until I see his feet. That should be a challenge to us, church. That should be a challenge to us, because guess what? We are Jesus' hands and feet. There are people who don't want to know what Jesus has to say until they see him. And Jesus introduces us as his body, as the church. To go up and say, here's my hands, here's my feet. See the sacrifice I'm willing to give for you. That's what it means to be part of the church. We don't always do a great job of it, but we are called to show who Jesus was and is. And if we are his, then we are to show that he is risen. What all this comes down to is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus defeated sin, shame, and death. He sacrificed and he suffered for you and for me, but that wasn't the end of the story. Jesus is alive. And we have a hope this morning that prevails past this life. The good news. Are you ready? Just making sure. The good news is that he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And if you want to meet him, I guarantee you this. It'll change everything. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the fact that you are risen and that you are risen indeed. God, we come before you today and we choose this day to praise you and to worship you for who you are and for what you've done. Jesus, you're alive, and it changes everything. We love you, and we praise you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.